So I want to begin by making a confession that most of you won't be a bit surprised by because you know me and love me, warts and all. The confession is this. My name is Susan, and I am a people pleaser. I am a people pleaser. It's part of my psychological makeup. It is where I often go to first, even when I'm unaware of it, whenever asked to do something. It is the result of both pain and joy in my life. And I want to start by talking about the pain. There was no greater punishment that I could receive from my father than for him to say these words, "I am disappointed in you." It hurt me, it was soul crushing. It hurt me worse than a paddle on the behind or being put on restriction. And so I worked really hard not to hear those words from my dad and eventually from others. I discovered that if I said yes to whatever people wanted, or better yet, if I could anticipate what they wanted, I could avoid disappointing them and they would love me. I'm a people pleaser. And that confession, I have to tell you, is a very hard one for me to make, but it is an important one for me because once I recognize that about myself, I have the opportunity to choose a different way. Today we're going to be learning about the power of no, and I want to invite you to join me as we pray together. Loving and gracious God, we are so grateful for the gift of life that you have given to us in Jesus Christ, for the gift of your love and grace, your forgiveness, and hope for living that you give to us through the way of Jesus. And I pray now that as we seek that path to abundant life, that you may, through the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, make all that we do and say pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our scripture lesson today from the first chapter of Mark's Gospel is actually a part of a larger section from verses 14 to 39 that is entitled The Beginning of the Galilean Ministry. And in this section, we see many things taking place. John the Baptist has been arrested, and Jesus comes into Galilee, and that's the area, if you look at the map there, of the northern part of Palestine in the first century. And there he begins to proclaim the good news that John the Baptist has actually been preaching, the very words that he has been preaching in the southern region of Palestine called Judea. And this is the message. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The good news being that the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus then calls the first disciples, Peter and Andrew, who are brothers, and James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee. All of them are fishers. And they immediately, we're told, leave their nets at Jesus' call, and they follow Jesus. And he promises them that they will now not be fishing for fish, but they will be fishing for people. So they make their way to Capernaum, and they go to a synagogue where Jesus begins to teach. And we're told that the people that are listening to him are amazed at Jesus' teaching, because he, unlike the other rabbis, teach with one having authority. And so while he's doing that, a man who's in the audience, described as having an unclean spirit, makes a scene. And I have to confess to you, this is one of my big, don't anybody ever do this. Don't anybody ever stand up and start shouting in the middle of the sermon. That's my big fear. Anyway, he shouts, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, you Holy One of God." And Jesus, we are told, rebukes the evil spirit and says, "Be silent, come out of him." Now, I might say that if you did that. Silent. Come out of him. And the unclean spirit, we were told, is cast out, and everybody is amazed. And then, as we would expect, people start talking, and the word spreads quickly. Jesus is a rock star. So after they leave the synagogue, they go to Peter's house, and there they find Peter's mother-in-law sick with a fever. Jesus takes her by the hand and raises her up, and then she begins to do what she is gifted to do, to provide hospitality for her guests. Now, by the evening, the word has spread that Jesus, what Jesus has done and who he is, and more importantly, where he is, so that the whole city has gathered around Peter's house. And Jesus cures many who are sick, and he casts out more demons, and everything's going really well. So by the end of that Sabbath day, it was a very full day for Jesus, right? And he was no doubt what some of us might call bone tired. Have you ever been there, bone tired? But Jesus didn't sleep the next day, right? That's where our scripture for today picks up. We're told that in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and he went out to a deserted place. And there he did what? He prayed. That's right. And that's when he gets interrupted. The Fab Four, a.k.a. Peter and Andrew, James and John, had been hunting for Jesus, and when they found him, they said, "Hey, Jesus, you're a rock star. Everybody's searching for you." But then Jesus says, "Let's go on to the next town and the next so that I can do the thing I came to do." Jesus said no. But he didn't say no because he was being selfish or cantankerous. And he didn't say yes the day before because he was a people pleaser. Jesus always said yes and always said no with purpose. And so can we. This morning I want to offer those of us who are people pleasers a pathway to recovery. And for those who aren't people pleasers, a pathway to discovery. And here's the pathway. And Lucy, you need to hit the thing. Lucy, you need to hit. Yeah, keep going. Next one. The power of no only comes when we know. Can I say that again? The power of no only comes when we know. We've got to know some things in order to say no. What do we got to know? Well, we've got to know at least three things. We got to know what to say no to, we've got to know when to say no, and most importantly, we've got to know why to say no. What, when, and why? What do we say no to? Well, there are some very obvious things that we say no to every day, right? We say no to things that are destructive to ourselves or others. For example, we learn very early not to touch a heating element on the stove when it's red. If we don't, what's going to happen? Going to get burned. Because red is hot. Sometimes we have to learn that lesson the hard way. Sometimes we can be taught without having to endure too much pain. But regardless of whether it comes the hard way or not, knowing what to say no to is a learning process. It's a learning process. And one of the ways that we learn is through failure. For some of us, it is giving into temptation, the things that we know are destructive, but we still do them anyway. Addictions to alcohol or drugs or overeating or sex or overspending, and the list goes on. But there are other addictions, like the need to succeed or the need to massage ego, or the need to avoid conflicts at all costs, or the need to please. And what happens? Well, my learning has often come when of the failure of saying yes too quickly. Somebody asks me something, I'll immediately say yes. But what happens when that happens? Well, often it's not that the thing that I say yes to is necessarily a total disaster, but there are always consequences to every decision you and I make. For me, often it's exhaustion or mental or emotional distraction and disruption of the most important relationships in my life, mostly with Ron and not to mention with God. So what are some of the ways that we can know when to say no? For sure, we can say no when the ask is obviously something that goes against what we know to be right, something that goes against our moral compass, something that is obviously contrary to our understanding of God's will and way for our lives. It's an obvious no-brainer to say no to those kinds of requests, even though we may be tempted to say yes. But what about the good things that we often get asked to do? Things that are in keeping with our morals and with God's will and way. Or maybe it's an opportunity that might be good for your career or for your future in some way. When is it appropriate to say no to those kinds of requests? Well, let me make a suggestion that just might be the most important thing I'm going to say today. So really listen to this if you don't listen to anything else. Are you ready? Can we begin by not saying yes too quickly? Can we begin by not saying yes too quickly? When given an opportunity to serve or to take a new direction in your life or in your career path, take time to consider it. That's what we call discernment. And how do we discern? You begin by asking yourself how this is going to affect my priorities, my spiritual, physical, financial, relational priorities. Is this opportunity in keeping with those priorities? Take time to think about it. Another way that you can do this discernment process is talk with someone you trust about it. A spouse, a friend, a coworker, a mentor. Seek their feedback and wisdom. Then check your motives. Check your motives. Ask, does my saying yes to this have to do with people pleasing? Is it a way of massaging my ego? Is it a way that I avoid conflict in some way? Or is it because I really feel like this is in keeping with what God is calling me to do? And then most importantly, while you're doing all of those things throughout it all, pray about it. Meditate on it. Listen for God's voice and guidance. If you will do that kind of discernment, you can't give a resounding yes to the request that's being made of you, then you need to say no or not now with no regret. All right, I think you can see that the last no, K-N-O-W, in the power of no, has to do with why. To know why you need to say no. And of course, this is really the first and most important part of the power of no. Jesus says no to staying in Capernaum. Why does he do that? He's done great things there. He's preached and he's teached and he's cast out demons and he's healed a whole bunch of folks. But Jesus hasn't done everything that needs to be done in Capernaum. There are still more need there. The disciples come to him and say, everybody's looking for you, Jesus. They need you. Looking again with me at Jesus' response, hear these words. Let us go into the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For this is what I came to do. This is what I came to do. Jesus was clear about his mission, his purpose, his one thing. The kingdom of God is near. I have come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. This is the reason Jesus came. And he regularly spent time with God in prayer to make sure that he remained clear on that. Because friends, even though Jesus was God in flesh, he was also a human being, right? And it would have been very easy for him to fall into the trap of people-pleasing or ego-massaging or avoiding conflict or the addiction to busyness to distract him from the one thing. The great philosopher Soren Kierkegaard once said, "Purity of heart is to will one thing." He talked about the kind of person he knows, that's talking about the kind of person who knows exactly what it is that their life is all about. Here's how Rob Bell said it. You have a life force, everybody does, and you have these God-given energies. And if they aren't focused and disciplined in really specific sorts of ways, these energies aren't focused on something and we get pulled off track because they get diffused. and they spread too thinly, and they just aren't as strong as they could be. But when you will the one or the few most important things, you're focusing on your God-given energies. You see, the enemy of the best isn't always the worst. Sometimes, as Stephen Covey said, the enemy of the best is the good. It's the good. It's when we become so busy doing all these good things that we have no energy or will left to do the one thing. As Gary Keller says, saying yes to everyone is the same as saying yes to nothing. You've got to know your why. Know your one thing. For when that is your priority, it gives you the clarity and the power to say no. Why? So that you can say yes to what's most important. A few weeks ago, I sent a few people an email to ask for a volunteer for an opportunity to serve with our DZ and Arcadia ministry. One of those I asked wrote me back about a week later, and here's what this person said. Dear Pastor Susan, after thinking and praying about this need, I am not available at this time. And here is my reply. I am so glad you prayed about this and thought about it! Exclamation point. That's exactly what I would hope all of our folks would do when being asked to consider a ministry opportunity. You did well. I totally support your discernment and thank you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Because you see, this particular person doesn't always say no. When she says yes, she gives it her focused attention and she gives it wholeheartedly. And here's the thing. That's the kind of yes that leads to life abundant. But what if we don't get any yeses at Florence Christian Church, you might be thinking. You might be asking to yourself, what happens then? Well, that's not going to happen. I have faith in God and I have faith in you. But let me tell you something. If there is a ministry opportunity that no one says yes to, then it's probably a pretty good indicator that it is not ours to do here at Florence Christian Church. We don't have to do it all, either as individuals or as a congregation. So know what you need to say no to, when you need to say no, and most importantly, know why. It may be that some of the things that you've been so quick to say yes to, both inside as well as outside of the church, are not bad things. But there are still the wrong things, and they are keeping you from saying yes to what really matters. What is your one thing? That's what we've been talking about all month this month. Get clear about it. Discern it well. And then live it fully. Say no to whatever gets in the way of you fulfilling it. And see, when you say yes to the right things, the extraordinary things that God will do in and through you. This is my prayer for you and for me. And the people of God said, amen and amen. So today, as we do each and every Sunday, we give an invitation because the invitation is for us to take that next step of action. And for some of us today, that might mean making a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, this one who called fishers away from their nets and called them to fish for people. And maybe you're hearing that call in your life to follow this one and leave whatever it is that's keeping you from doing that. We would welcome you if that's your decision today, if that's your call. Some of you may be considering and discerning God's call in your life as it relates to a partnership, a ministry partnership with Florence Christian Church. Some churches call it membership. We want people to understand that we're talking about ministry partnership, that we need you and you need us, and together we can be about what God calls us to do. If God is calling you to make that decision, I pray that you will be saying yes to that call, because it's the call from God. Today, though, I think most of us have been challenged, I know I have, to think about what I need to be saying no to so I can say yes to the things, the greater things that God has in store for me. Today, as we have this time of invitation, my prayer for you is that you will carefully consider. And some of you are nodding your heads today, so I know you've already identified something that you need to be saying no to so you can say yes to the right things. Make that your prayer and your commitment to God today. As we sing our song of invitation, all are welcome to respond to the call of God on your lives. Let's stand together as we sing.